Chapter 1. It was the end of summer and the end of a life as I had lived it. The year was 2007. Inside the Surrey Hotel, which I would come to call the Sorry Hotel, then a musty residential place, much like the Chelsea Hotel, but without the artists. I sat on the floor with cardboard boxes towering all around me. These walls and floors, cloaked in dusty beige and brown, with a linoleum and formica-laden kitchenette, would be my refuge, a place where the displaced, like me, put themselves. 1 month earlier, I had finished moving out of my beautiful home, taking the last pictures off the walls, wrapping the last trinkets in tissue, and finally, nauseatingly, separating the wedding photos into two neat piles. Everything I had been carting from one stage of my life to another to remind me of me was in the boxes that surrounded me. And there were so many of them now, just days before my 37th birthday. But so little of me left. At the end of a marriage, no one wins. There's only anger, sorrow, guilt, emptiness, and defeat. Outside it rained. There had been many rainy nights that summer. I had been sitting, staring at nothing, for so long that my tailbone had started to throb. Far off, the muffled sound of a phone ringing and ringing finally penetrated my days. As I rose to silence the phone, shifting my weight, I felt the sharp, sudden pull of surgical stitches on my abdomen. I reached out to steady myself against a box. As I did, it shifted. I heard the silky, scratchy rustle of cellophane against cardboard. Down tumbled dozens of dusty kumquats from a bag that had been perched precariously on the top of the stack. They were a gift from my worried mother, shipped from her garden in Los Angeles. When the avalanche stopped, my gaze focused on the bright, beautiful fruit, the orbs glowing orange against the dull backdrop of everything else. The man I had left was like that. He could illuminate any room, no matter how dim. My future husband and I had met 8 years earlier, in 1999, in the shadow of the Statue of Liberty. After my European modeling career had more or less come to a close in the late 90s, I embarked on a professional acting career in Italy. Starting in 1997, I also began to co-host an Italian television show called Domenica Inn. I was surprisingly busy with work, and after acting in two period miniseries in 1998, decided to build on what I hoped was a burgeoning career by moving back to L.A., where I had lived as a teenager. I came to New York frequently, too, as most of my friends and extended family lived there. I was finding my way again in the U.S. after spending most of my 20s in Europe. For the first time since college, I was single. I dated some, but not seriously. Instead, I focused on auditions and on writing and then promoting my first cookbook, Easy Exotic. For my first role, I had to gain 20 pounds, which was a cinch and a pleasure. Best 3 months of my life, actually. Losing the weight after filming ended? Not so much. I wanted to do it in a healthy way. The regimen I came up with was not quite a diet. There was no deprivation involved, mainly because deprivation is miserable. The more brutal or austere the diet, the harder it is to keep. Instead, I tweaked recipes for my favorite foods from around the world in an attempt to excise calories but not flavor. And those recipes became Easy Exotic. I landed a publishing contract for the book, largely because, well, everyone wants to know what a model eats. Tina Brown, ex-Vanity Fair and New Yorker editor, had recently founded a new magazine, Talk, as well as a publishing imprint, Talk Books, in conjunction with Miramax Books. My book, left over from the previous Miramax list, was one of her first books. I doubt my silly little cookbook, closer to pamphlet than proper volume, was her first choice. But somehow, I was invited to the new magazine's launch party. A Great Gatsbyan affair on Liberty Island. It's still the best party I have ever been to. Except, of course, for my own wedding. But that wouldn't come until 5 years later. On a balmy, beautiful August night, I came with a few friends, including my book editor, who would eventually become one of my bridesmaids. We all boarded the ferry and arrived at a fete lit by candles. Tina had invited such a strange and wonderful mix of people, a combination of the high-minded and the pop, a particularly glamorous herd of heads of state, cultural tastemakers, movie stars, artists, models, writers, and other starstruck dilettantes like myself.